Let's pray. Oh God, we do thank you for your word, and may we receive strength and encouragement, and may we receive guidance and direction, and may we live by your word. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A couple of years ago, I was talking to our district superintendent, Dr. Kathy Wilborn, and we were talking about our clergy party. Every Christmas, we have a party, and I'm on the committee, so we were talking about what should be happening there. That year, there was a different clergy colleague who came up to me, and also a layperson from a different church, and they said to me, you know, the Christmas party should be this and this and this. They were complaining in a way. They didn't like how the Christmas party was being run. They had suggestions, and they're trying to get me to influence the district superintendent. So when I brought the ideas to the district superintendent, she quite simply said to me, "Whose party is it anyway?" She said, "It is the district superintendent's party." Now, if it was their party, they could determine how it should be. "But it's my party," she said. Apparently, these two people were trying to kind of push the limit or position themselves in a certain way. They were trying to determine what should be on the agenda, what should be the character of the party. They wanted more different things going on, but it wasn't their place to do that. Now, if they were the superintendent, they could set the agenda, they could set the program, they could just determine the whole flow of the party. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus is talking about this illustration of party and banquet, and he is trying to teach them about positioning and humility and community. So let's talk about this story. Jesus is a guest at one of the Pharisees' house, and they're about to have a meal. And he noticed that some of the guests were sitting, I guess, where they were not supposed to sit. They were sitting in the places of honor. So as Jesus notices this, he decides to tell them a story and a parable. He first talks about the guests. He says, "When you arrive at the wedding feast, don't take the place of honor, because someone who may come in later may have a higher position than you. You may have to move. In fact, you may have to move to a lower position, and it will be embarrassing, and it might be shameful. So take a lesser seat, so that when the host comes and sees you, he may say, 'Friend, you deserve to go up to a different, a higher place, an honored position. Come and sit here.'" And then the punchline in verse 11 says, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles themselves will be exalted." Now, we have a hard time with this story because most weddings that we attend have assigned seating, and it has that little name placard of where we're supposed to sit. But the point that Jesus is trying to make is that not to position ourselves too highly, because we may find ourselves embarrassed. We may overstep our place and our position. We may find that we are called into account and dealt with some humble pie. And the end result is we may be put on a lower platform. The second part of the story has to do with the host, and it reads this way. "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, because then they will invite you back, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they don't have a way to repay you, and they will be paid at the resurrection of the righteous." Now, is Jesus saying, whenever you have a party, don't invite your friends, don't invite your family, don't invite rich people? Only invite strangers or outcasts or poor or downtrodden? Now, how many of us do that? If you take the Bible literally to the very letter, then you would interpret Scripture to mean exactly that. That we're only to have outsiders at our parties, nobody else. But if you read the parable is often symbolic and has deeper meaning to it. What Jesus is trying to get at is about motivation and about expectation. And when we're in relationship with the community, if the motive is to be paid back, is to be rewarded, is to be reciprocated, then Jesus is saying that's all wrong. If we give and expect back and give with the condition that I gave this and therefore this is for me, then that's all wrong. Jesus is saying generosity, hospitality, kindness, grace, and mercy should not be given with an ulterior motive. It doesn't come with strings attached. In the Filipino culture, we are familiar with the concept of utang na loob. It can be understood in two ways that is explained to me. In one way, the giver of a benefit or a charitable gift, that person can say utang na loob, meaning something is owed to me, or that they can cash it in the future and say utang na loob, you owe me. Taken a second way, the receiver can feel utang na loob when they get something good, when they get a gift or a favor or a help. They feel morally obligated to assist to that person. My wife was trying to help me understand this, and she was explaining to me that sometimes parents can feel utang na loob towards their kids if the kids are disrespectful, or if the kids are unappreciative or offensive. After all I've done for you, this is what you do for me. And they feel that utang na loob. When I explained that at the first service, my wife said, no, that's not correct. So I'm not really sure what it means, actually. I misinterpreted how she said, but anyway, you can correct me later. But Jesus says, don't leverage that favor. Don't place a condition on that gift. Recently, I came across an article in the New York Times, and they were comparing Microsoft and Apple. In the year 2000, Microsoft was making more profits than Apple by 6 to 1, 6 billion to 1 billion. And at the end of 2000, Apple's market capitalization was $4.8 billion, I guess, altogether in worth. But today, Apple is worth $455 billion. It didn't say what Microsoft's market value capitalization is. But according to the article, the reason why Apple's popularity and success and prosperity grew is because they were more concerned about serving their customers. On the other hand, Microsoft was more interested in serving their shareholders, their stockholders, or their tech innovators in the company. In other words, one company was more concerned with the greater whole, the bigger picture, the larger constituency and customer base, whereas one company was focusing on a select few, an elected few. So the issue that Jesus is trying to say is motivation and your expectation, service and hospitality and generosity. Finally, verse 14 says, you will be blessed since they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The motivation, the emotion, the investment is not for outward personal adulation, but the blessing is for the spiritual benefit. It's for the spiritual fulfillment. And so that gift and that service is offered in humility should draw attention away from the self to attention to God. It's for the benefit, the greater, the broader whole community. And the text is about humility and hospitality and generosity for the greater assembly and community. When it is aimed and targeted and tailored to the elite, the elected, then the scripture says, beware. Fred Craddock in his commentary says, God is the one who exalts the lowly and brings down those who exalt themselves. And he was also quoting from Mary's song, which was in chapter 1. Craddock makes the point that Jesus turns things around, inverts it, the lowly, and brings low the proud. In chapter 6, Luke makes a list of those who are going to be blessed, and then makes a list of those who are going to be brought low. The underdog, the hurting, the underprivileged, the oppressed, the downcast, the grieving, those who are going to be lifted up. But those who are powerful, those who wield their pride, those who draw attention to themselves, those whose motives are not for the greater community and not the right reasons, that they will be brought low. Conclusion, Jesus is trying to say, take heed and examine your motives. Being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, life is a party. Life is a banquet. But it's Jesus' party. It's Jesus' celebration. And Jesus sets the table for the kingdom. And what kingdom is that? That's a kingdom of kindness and generosity and hospitality and humility aimed at the community, the greater whole, the less advantaged, those who are the underdog, and those who are in great need. It's those people that we give attention and consideration. So Jesus says, be open as a community, and let us be humble. Amen.